Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
President Trump said yesterday that 69,000 people had signed up to attend his rally in El Paso, but that only 10,000 people were allowed inside, before later claiming that 35,000 people actually attended, while law enforcement said only 6,500 were inside the arena. So, yeah, we do need to see his tax returns.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Jake Johnson. Plus, just for this podcast, Jake takes a few more questions backstage at Studio 8G. But first, a closer look.
For the first 2 years of his presidency, Trump enjoyed unified Republican power in Washington. But after the blue wave election in November, Trump is besieged by Democrats on all sides. From the Democrats investigating him in Congress to the Democrats running for president. In fact, tonight, after we taped this, Trump held a rally in El Paso, Texas, to argue for his border wall. Now, normally, when Trump holds these rallies, he gets the full, undivided attention of the media and the political world. But tonight, he had to deal with a rival rally held by a popular Democrat in a march organized by local activists.
Dueling rallies at the Mexico border tonight in El Paso. President Trump and rising Democratic star Beto O'Rourke, both in the West Texas city tonight. O'Rourke plans to lead a one-mile march celebrating the culture, history, and diversity of the region. His speech afterward timed to coincide with the president's rally at the El Paso County Coliseum.
Amazing. Not only are they holding a rally at the same time, but they're also holding a march. There's no better way to troll Trump than with exercise. What's Trump going to do? Chase after the marchers in his golf cart? Slow down. This thing's running low on batteries. Meanwhile, over the weekend, two more Democrats announced their presidential campaigns, adding to what is an already historic number of women in the field. On Sunday, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar announced her campaign, and she did it in the most Minnesota way possible, covered in snow.
Now, we don't let a little snow stop us. We don't let a little cold stop us. Like, are you guys even cold? So let's join together as one nation, indivisible, under God, and pursue the good.
I promise I will vote for you if you go inside. I mean, God, look at all that snow. Who's going to be your running mate? Marge Gunderson? Is she in Minnesota or north of the wall? And, of course, after announcement, Trump couldn't help but take a shot at Klobuchar on Twitter. And in doing so, he once again revealed that he doesn't know the difference between weather and climate change.
President Trump, not impressed, tweeting, well, it happened again. Amy Klobuchar announced that she is running for president, talking proudly of fighting global warming while standing in a virtual blizzard of snow, ice, and freezing temperatures. Bad timing. By the end of her speech, she looked like a snowman or woman.
Why do we have to keep explaining to the president of the United States that weather and climate are two different things? We live in a country where science teachers have to tell their students, I don't care what the president said. Not to mention history teachers, English teachers, and PE teachers. I don't care what he said, Timmy. Sit-ups are not fake news. You shouldn't have to live like this. It's like if a kid pees his pants when he's 3, it's understandable. But if he does it when he's 30, you put him in an Uber. To explain this one more time, just because it snows once doesn't negate long-term climate trends caused by the burning of fossil fuels. It's kind of like this. When your hair looks normal once in a while, that's weather. But most of the time, it looks like this, and that's climate. Now, Klobuchar's announcement came just a day after Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren officially threw her hat in the ring as well. And rather than focus exclusively on Trump, Warren argued that Trump is just the product of a broken system.
The man in the White House is not the cause of what is broken. He is just the latest and most extreme symptom of what's gone wrong in America.
Basically, what she's saying is Trump himself isn't the disease, he's just the symptom. Actually, he's a bunch of symptoms. He's basically everything you'd see on the back of a pill bottle. May cause inflammation, excessive sweating, hair loss, discolorization of the skin, and dryness of the mouth.
10,000 known or suspected gang members.
Every single car out there, even the really expensive ones.
God bless the United States.
Oh, is it time for my speech? Quick, get me a glass of sand.
Now, Warren isn't alone among Democrats in wanting to focus on policy and on the specific ways in which the system has failed working people. The entire Democratic Party's messaging in the midterms was focused on issues like health care and voter suppression, and it produced the largest margin of victory in midterms history. So naturally, Trump has responded to that message with his only move, racism.
2020 is also clearly on President Trump's mind. Saturday, he lashed out at Senator Warren on Twitter, alluding to her past claims of Native American status, for which she has apologized. The president appeared to make a joking reference to the tragic Trail of Tears relocation and genocide of Native Americans.
Today, Elizabeth Warren, sometimes referred to by me as Pocahontas, joined the race for president. Will she run as our first Native American presidential candidate, or has she decided that after 32 years, this is not playing so well anymore? See you on the campaign trail, Liz.
Now, this tweet was obviously racist, and yet there are actually some conservatives arguing that it wasn't a reference to the Trail of Tears because Trump doesn't know what that is. Fox News political analyst Brit Hume responded to claims that Trump's tweet was racist by saying yes, because Trump is noted for his knowledge of 19th century American history vis-a-vis the Native population. They're actually defending Trump by saying he's too dumb to be racist. First of all, if you ever find yourself asking, is Trump dumb or is he racist, the answer is most likely C, all of the above. Second, Trump has said publicly that he's a big fan of Andrew Jackson, who carried out the forced removal and ethnic cleansing of Native Americans. In fact, early in his presidency, Trump even claimed Jackson foresaw the Civil War decades before it happened. Although Trump didn't really seem to have a strong understanding of what the Civil War actually was.
They said my campaign is most like my campaign and win was most like Andrew Jackson. I mean, had Andrew Jackson been a little bit later, you wouldn't have had the Civil War. He was really angry that he saw what was happening with regard to the Civil War. He said, there's no reason for this. People don't realize, you know, the Civil War. You think about it, why? People don't ask that question. But why was there the Civil War? Why could that one not have been worked out?
What do you mean, why was there the Civil War? Everyone knows why. It's not like the first line of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation was, I don't know why I'm doing this. Trump and his allies are clearly rattled by the fact that for the first time they have to face real questions from the Democrats running for president or investigating them in Congress. And there was no better example of that than Trump's acting Attorney General, Matt Whitaker, who testified before the House Judiciary Committee on Friday. Democrats tried to get Whitaker to answer basic questions about his role in the Russia investigation. And for the first time in any congressional hearing in memory, the witness told them that they were out of time.
In your capacity as acting Attorney General, have you ever been asked to approve any request or action to be taken by the special counsel?
Mr. Chairman, I see that your 5 minutes is up, and so...
No, I'm sorry, but you don't get to do that, dude. That's like Tom Brady chucking a flag and calling pass interference. The way it works is Tom Brady winks at a ref, and the ref throws the flag. This is what happens. This is what happens when Trump and his allies finally have to answer real questions for the first time from people who aren't just there to protect them. Trump is dealing with several serious challenges to his presidency and real oversight from Congress. And by the time this is all over, Trump may no longer be the president of...
the United States.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guest tonight is a very funny actor you know from the hit series New Girl, as well as films like Jurassic World and Tag. He's the voice of Peter Parker in the Oscar-nominated Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Please welcome back to the show, Jake Johnson, everyone! Welcome back!
Thanks for having me.
We talked backstage. I mean, congratulations on this movie. It is, it's really incredible.
Thank you.
And I had heard how great it was before I saw it, and then I saw it and realized, oh, wow, it's exactly as great as everybody told me. But certainly, in the making of it, you knew you were doing something special, but can you believe that it has reached a point where it's this Oscar-nominated film?
No, I really can't. I mean, I had a good feeling because it was Chris and Phil and our directors.
Yep.
But it's February, and I'm back doing press for it.
Yeah.
That's
You're doing
crazy.
Oscar press
doing
for
Oscar
your Spider-Man
press.
Movies.
Yeah. That's right.
And this was, I think sometimes people assume when you are the voice of the movie, oh, you went in for a couple days and did the voice. Can you just talk for exactly, like, how much of a time commitment this was for you?
Yeah, I did 2.5 years of recording on this.
That's
one.
So amazing.
I'll put it in perspective. I was in the movie Smurf,
uh-huh.
And I did 1.5 hours of Smurfs. It's true. And I love Smurfs, and I thought I did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And so I would leave the booth with Spider-Verse, and I'd be like, I think we got it, guys. And they're like, we did it, buddy. But those guys really, they work hard, and they're very talented, and it was a real honor.
And you, you know, this was also a case where you did some of the voice record with some of your co-stars.
Yeah, I got to work with Shameik and Catherine Hahn.
Did you find that helpful compared to previous experience you'd had in voiceover work to actually be with the other actors?
It was more helpful than my Smurfs, yes. it was fun. You know, it was helpful. I got to know who Peter was opposite Shameik's Miles. Shameik's great in it. The Catherine Hahn was really fun because we did action stuff. So I got to play kind of Marvel movies where I was the bad, you know, I was Peter and she was the bad guy, but I was in shorts and flip-flops. You know, I didn't have wires connected to me, but yeah. I got to, like, live a comic book.
That's perfect.
And then as soon as the take was over, I'm like, can we just do it again? It's just such an easy way to do it.
That's really nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Don Cheadle had to, like, give up, he just told us, like, 12 years of his life.
That's right. Yeah. Mine was 4 hours in a booth.
You have been here before. Obviously, you've done a ton of talk shows, but you had... for what I believe for you is the crown jewel. You did a talk show recently that you've long wanted to do.
Yeah, it was the crown jewel, but I kind of blew it.
You blew it?
Yeah. So my brother and I are diehard Steve Harvey fans.
The best.
The best.
He's the best.
And so funny.
Yeah.
And so I got invited to do his daytime show. But I didn't want to do his daytime show and just... I was doing Mummy press. I didn't want to just talk about Mummy and the workouts. I'm next to Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Let's do a bit and let's do a makeover.
Right.
You know, I'm a bad dresser. I know what those are. Let's do a full-on Steve Harvey makeover.
Right, which is something they do.
And he's great at it.
Yeah.
I saw it today on TV. He did one.
Yeah.
So my brother and I talked. I'm like, Dan, come with me. We'll do the makeover. It'll be great. We pitched the producer. She was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, yeah, great. Let's really do this. And so they go, awesome. And they said, so show up to work. And I'm like, great. I'm like, is Steve into it? And they're like, Steve's good with it. So they said, show up in, you know, how you dress, you know, that you would need a makeover. Now, if I'm going to really do TV, I'm always going to dress up a little bit. I'm not an utter maniac.
Right.
But if I'm going to do a makeover show, you know, I'm going to dress poorly.
Yeah. Give them more room to make you over.
To make me over.
You're doing them a favor.
Yes, Seth. What happened was, it was... this really happened, and it was really awful. So, in my head, it was a bit that I thought Steve was with me on. But I never talked to Steve about it.
Right.
So I get to the Steve Harvey show, and I'm wearing cut-off corduroys, flip-flops, a sweatshirt. I feel weird about it.
Yeah.
I should not be on TV in those clothes.
Yeah.
But for the makeover, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm walking backstage. My brother's like, this is going to go great. This is going to be perfect. I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel great. We're going to meet Steve Harvey. We meet Steve, and about 3 minutes before we go on TV, and the producer tells us that Steve has not heard the pitch.
So this is the first...
He doesn't know we're doing a makeover. So he meets me, and they go, Steve, this is Jake Johnson. And he goes... But this is backstage. And he goes,
you know you're going to be on TV, son. And I go, yeah, I need a makeover. And he's like, yeah, man, you're wearing flip-flops. And I was like, yeah, I know. And you're Steve Harvey. And he goes, all right. He walks on. I'm in a living nightmare. I want out.
Yeah.
I change my mind. Throw any suit on me. I'll just talk about the movie. 3, 2, 1, Jake, walk out. So I'm walking out, and as soon as I come out, Steve goes like, again, what are you wearing? And then he goes, what do you think Tom Cruise is going to say if you show up to the premiere like this? And what I wanted to say is, I'm not an idiot. I would never dress the way I'm dressing. I wanted to be like, Steve, I've made a mistake. This was a stupid bit. So he kills me. It does not go great.
Yeah.
He's really surprised I'm dressed this way. Then there's the break where I get styled.
Okay, so commercial break, they go back, they do the makeover.
They have a guy who's going to dress me in a Steve Harvey type outfit.
Yeah.
My brother's backstage. I keep waiting for someone to tell me, like, no, it's going good. You know? It felt like it was going bad, but I was waiting.
And
I didn't get that, Seth. The person styling, I go, what do you think? Is Steve like this a lot? And the guy goes, Steve's really nice. He doesn't like you. So I'm like, cool, that's all right, cool. So I put the suit on, my brother and I have a talk where my brother says, realistically, what are our options? And I was like, well, I go out there, I get egg on my face, Steve Harvey hates us, and then it ends. Or I'm the biggest coward and we just run.
Yeah.
And we talked it out, we're like, we can't run. And so I'm standing behind the booth, the old photo of me.
Yeah.
Which is the, you know, cords or whatever. They brought my brother on stage. My brother, who's not in this business, is freaking out.
Sure.
I can see him next to Steve, and he's going like... He's thinking Steve Harvey's about to murder his brother, and he wouldn't know where to be in terms of loyalty.
Yeah. I'm with you, Steve!
Yeah, he'd be like, get him, Steve! I'm sorry, Jake, but it's Steve Harvey! So the curtain comes on. I honestly don't know Steve's reaction. Steve gives me the big clap. So he likes the makeover. We're in a money zone. My favorite part of it is that my brother, while, you know, I'm getting this applause, just loses his mind. So Steve's going like this. I'm doing the, you know, makeover complete. And my brother's going, yeah!
That's a good brother.
That's a good brother.
Hey, Matt, thanks for being here. Congrats on the movie. Good luck on Oscar night. It's a pleasure to see you again. Jake Johnson, everybody. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is in theaters now.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm backstage with Jake Johnson. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We talked a little bit about the movie when you were out there with Seth, and I told you I think it's so spectacular. The animation was amazing, but the story is so great, too. I know you weren't really a big comic fan growing up, but your brother was.
Yeah, my brother was in, so I knew all about it. I haven't followed all the movies as much, so when this one came, I got to see this version of Peter with kind of new eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and when Phil Lord first told me about him, he wanted to kind of reimagine Peter. You know, Peter is now a 40-year-old guy, so it was actually easier for me because I wasn't a diehard fan.
Yeah, and most of those other Spider-Man movies are like teenage
younger,
or 20-year-old.
Right.
So you're Peter Parker is like a little out of shape?
Yeah, he's Peter at, you know, heartbroken and fat and no longer really wanting to be a superhero.
He gets like a hard time from some of the other characters about his
that's right.
fitness.
Yeah.
Do you think that there might be some different like Halloween costumes of Spider-Man this year?
I do, actually. And people have started sending it on social media.
Really?
Yeah, it's chubby dudes with a... And I say this out of love as a chubby dude. So I'm not talking down to my people. I'm talking to my people. But it's chubby dudes in sweatpants and just a Spider-Man shirt holding a quote-unquote cup of coffee. But guess what? Fill that coffee with whatever you want. So you could walk around with your coffee, but drink your drink, but you're wearing sweatpants and just like that red Spider-Man shirt.
I feel like he needs a pizza, too. He's always eating pizza in the
movie.
Yeah,
he should. That's just a bigger commitment.
Yeah, that's true. That's
if fair. If I weren't me and I was dressing up as Peter B. Parker for Halloween, I wouldn't do the pizza. But I would do a mug, but I would do like Jack and Coke in there so it looked like coffee. So I could say, hey, coffee. And I'd wear like really warm sweatpants and just a Spider-Man shirt. And then that's enough. That's all you need.
Do you think there's going to be any other superhero projects in your future?
Well, I'm in talks to play Superman. But I'm thinking of passing.
Why?
I don't like the script. And then all of them, the live action Batman, there's a lot of talk of it going on. They offered it to me, I passed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the script.
So then they tried to combine them. They wanted me to play Superman and Batman as one movie.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. But the script's not ready.
All right. Well, if any of those pan out, yeah, you just, have to come back and talk about it.
If they get good writers, you know, send me the script. But,
great.
You know,
yeah,
you got to be Shakespeare quality to get me.
We'll hope for the best.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.